Hey guys, it's Monday. We're rolling through January, and we're rolling through it with Jason Goodwin, director of ABS at La Tech in Ruston, and also church planner, planning a church in that area as well.
That's right, Ruston Baptist Mission.
Ruston Baptist Mission. So if you're in that area, go check him out. Maybe we should talk about that with this one episode here. But we've been talking about this flood of young men, young people, college age, mm-hmm. returning to the church, kind of prompted, but I think also going on maybe a little bit before the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But that's where it was really a magnifying glass was put upon it, mm-hmm. and people were flooding back into the church. And so we want them to be able to kind of have an awareness that not all churches are the same. And
right.
these are the types of churches that we would recommend that you are looking for. Here are the characteristics. And we said word-centered, we said gospel-centered. What's the third characteristic?
Well, again, we're just kind of, the flow logically would then lead us to a Christ-centered
yeah.
church, a church that is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
They are about his word, they're about his gospel, and they're about making much of him.
Yeah.
And I think that's just another kind of indicator that you're at a place that is serious about the faith, because they understand that the faith isn't about them, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's about making much of Christ. And if they're dedicated to making much of Christ, then they're truly dedicated to being a disciple-making, vibrant body of believers.
Yeah. So we kind of start, we wouldn't think that it was general, but you know, it is kind of general, I guess, to some degree, word-centered, mm-hmm. which covers a lot of 66 books, you know, and then kind of the next kind of tier down on it is the gospel, this good news.
Yep.
And the good news is all about Christ. It revolves around Jesus Christ.
All about Jesus.
Yeah.
And because it's interesting, right? So Jesus comes, he lives, he dies, he rises again,
yeah.
he ascends into heaven, and then his apostles get active planting churches,
yeah.
right? And the church right. goes out. But then after kind of the close of the canon, you begin to have questions about Jesus.
Who is Jesus?
Who yeah. is Jesus?
Yeah.
I mean, and those are some of the first yeah. earliest debates
yeah.
in the history of the church
yeah.
is, okay, what do we believe about this Jesus?
Right.
How do we kind of talk about this Jesus? How do we explain this
yeah.
Jesus?
Yeah.
So what do you have? You have the rise of Trinitarian theology, because we're trying to understand Jesus rightly according
right.
to Scripture. It's where you have the rise of creeds.
Yeah.
come into existence, because what are the creeds trying to do? They're trying to crystallize what it is we believe about Jesus.
Because there were all sorts of things being said about Jesus.
Right, exactly.
That he didn't really have a physical body after his death and all this
yeah.
kind of stuff. So they were trying to really nail down, no, this is who Jesus is.
Yeah, he wasn't really a man.
Yeah.
He was a God who kind of put on man-like attributes, or
yeah.
he was all man and added deity to his person. Like
yeah,
you have
yeah.
all of these different what we would call heresies
right.
concerning Jesus that the early church recognizes and begins to put out documents and have councils and do all these things to say, no. We need to be clear about who Jesus is and what we believe about Jesus, because Jesus is the center
right.
of this whole religion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So Jason, if there's a young man in Ruston, Louisiana, and he comes to your church plant, what are they going to see in a typical service? What are they going to experience in
yeah.
a typical service?
Well, we're probably, hopefully what they're going to see is a group of people who are really committed to
mm-hmm.
to doing the things that we've talked about so far, that we're going to be committed to reading the Bible, we're going to be committed to centralizing the gospel, and we're going to be committed to lifting up Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do that in having a time of praise and leading the Scripture to call us to worship, to having the Scripture guide the songs that we sing. You're going to hear a reading of the law and the gospel that points us to the gospel and points us to Jesus, so that
mm-hmm.
we can be assured
yeah.
of our pardon in
yeah.
Christ, and
yeah.
not just in our own works and good deeds, but in the gospel and in Christ.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the teaching. We're going to have a period of catechism to where there's a question, there's a question to be answered, so that we can have better understanding of
yeah.
what it is that we believe and why we believe it. And then probably, I some guy, me, is going to get up in the pulpit and preach for maybe way longer than you anticipated. But we're going to do this because we think that this is what needs to be highlighted.
Right.
That these are the things that need to be done, because we want people to see that everything we're doing is trying to point people to Jesus.
Yeah. And also, let's talk about this, because you guys do this probably far more regularly than most churches, is communion. Communion is all centered on Christ.
100%. And we think that this is the way that people respond rightly to Jesus. Mm. I love the fact that we have communion, and we practice it every Lord's Day, because we think that it's important. I know there's some who would say, well, because it's important, we should do it less often.
Right.
And I'm going to say, no, because it's important, we should do it as often as we can.
Yeah.
And we do this because this is where people get to see firsthand, what do you believe about Jesus?
Yeah.
And how has Jesus directed your life this week? How have you found comfort in Christ this week? Are you abiding in Christ this week? And not to say that we don't do it. We do it because we want people to not come observe. No, we want our members. We want people to come and partake of the body of Christ. But we want it to be clear also that we think if you're without Christ, you don't have access to this table.
Yeah.
And that's something we make clear every week, is that this is for believers.
Yeah.
This is for those who have followed Christ in baptism.
Yeah.
This is for those who are a part of the body of believers. And that if there is anything that you are struggling with, we want to talk to you about that.
Right.
Because this is how important we think Jesus is.
Yeah.
That we think that there is a clear line. We believe in the exclusivity of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's all about Him. And either you're in Him or you're not in Him. And we want to make that as clear as possible so that people understand that there's an in Jesus and there's a not in Jesus.
So one of the things that you brought up earlier that kind of ties in with this is the use of catechisms and creeds. And you and I have talked about this a little bit. Catechisms being certain questions being asked, and those questions already be answered, and we're memorizing those answers so that we can have deep clarity on certain issues there.
Yep.
Creeds, doctrinal statements, those different types of documents. Why are those important?
Well, so creed simply means I believe.
Yeah.
So anytime you read a creed or you see one of the ancient church creeds, they're just saying, no, this is what we believe. It is a confession of faith.
Yeah.
And we like confessions of faith, because confessions of faith allow us to be clear about what it is we believe about Jesus, about God, about His Word, about any certain thing, any typical doctrine or whatever else. And so we think that it's better to have clarity than to live in the kind of the murky, muddy middle,
right?
We talked about in an episode about having dark lines.
Yeah.
And we want to have those dark lines. We want people to be very clear about, no, this is what we believe, and this is what we don't believe.
Right.
We're saying this, we're not saying this. And that really helps in my mind, especially in an age where everybody else wants to kind of be kind of, I don't take this the wrong way, but everybody wants to be non-denominational.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to be kind of, well, you can make us into whatever you want us to be. You think we're conservative? Sure, we can be conservative.
Yeah.
You think we're progressive? Sure, we'll be progressive. You think we're somewhere in the middle? Whatever. No, we're going to take another approach. We're going to say, no, we want to have clear confessions of faith. We want to have clear understanding of who we are, of what we believe, why we believe it, because we think that helps.
Yeah.
We think that actually helps people to draw them into what we think that the Christian faith is, with clarity and with peace of mind.
With clarity, and also I think it is without novelty. So in other words, we didn't just come up with this.
Yeah.
This generation.
Yes.
This is what has been taught. This is what has been fought for years.
2,000 years.
2,000 years.
2,000 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to say something better, but I don't want to say anything newer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say anything new. I want to say something clear. Maybe if I can say something clear to help someone understand. But all I'm trying to do is say what the church has said for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
What the Bible has said for 2,000 years, because the Christian faith has not changed.
Right.
Although people have wanted to try to make it change, maybe soften it up on certain issues and social things. No, we think the Bible, again, because we've already said we believe it's infallible, we believe it's inerrant, we believe it's authoritative, we don't think we have the right to change it because it doesn't belong to us. It's belongs right. to God. It's yes. given to us. And so we want to make clear that we're teaching what the Bible says
yeah.
about all of these things, about the gospel, about Jesus. And so we use these creeds, these confessions, doctrinal statements. We want to use these because we think those aid us in summarizing
yeah.
what we think the Bible says, rather than having to say it all at once.
Yeah.
We can utilize these types of things to say what needs to be said so that there's clarity.
Right.
And yet we know that there's much more that can be said. And so we want to take time
yeah.
and go through all these things.
So young guy, young girl coming into church, they can check out the church's website or Facebook page or something like that. And we would encourage them to, hey, see if you can find their doctrinal statement so that you can read about their
yes.
doctrinal statement.
Yes.
And like at our church and BMA churches, we have doctrinal statements. And then we have that doctrinal statement is rooted in
right.
New Hampshire Confession of Faith.
Yep.
And so New Hampshire Confession of Faith is a very popular confession of faith. What would be some others that you would say these are helpful.
Yeah.
These are helpful.
So you have the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, which is, I think, 1830s, 1840s.
Yep.
It's rooted in mm-hmm. the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of Faith. And it's funny, the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of Faith is simply the Americanized version of the Second London Confession of Faith.
Yeah.
And so you have... This is what's, you know, kind of interesting. You have historic Baptist confessions.
Yeah.
You've got the London confessions. You've got other historic Baptist confessions from both the general Baptist and particular Baptist.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, to utilize those as much as you can, pastors, guys, you know, research these things because there are a lot of good Baptist confessions out there that are beneficial
yeah.
and that help to kind of clarify. You know, that's why our doctrinal statement utilizes New Hampshire,
right.
says because we know in a doctrinal statement you're only basically not PowerPoints, but what's the word I'm looking for? You kind of have
bullet points, yes,
and so you're not trying to get into anything into the weeds
right.
or too deep,
yes, yes.
But
yes.
that's why it's good to have confessions because they kind of provide that further explanation of
yes.
why we say it this way and not this way,
yeah.
And so those also have a historical flavor because here's the other thing. With a lot of people returning to church, you also have a lot of people that are returning to what we would consider more kind of historical denominations, let's say.
Yeah.
We've
yeah,
seen a rise yeah. in Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a rise in Eastern Orthodoxy,
yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with kind of we think saying less is helping, and it's not.
Right.
People want to say, they want to hear more.
Yes.
They want to see something that has historical roots.
Right.
They want to see something that has, that actually believes in transcendency and kind
yeah.
of practice those things. And guys, we have that in the Baptist
right.
church.
Right.
We have that in Baptist confessions.
Mm-hmm.
We have that in our own Baptist history. We don't have to pretend that the Baptist church started in 1950.
Right.
We believe that we have historical roots. And that the same thing we teach, we preach, we believe is what the church confessed 2,000 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And so hold
Absolutely.
On to that.
Yeah.
Hold on to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Jason, we got one more episode, and I know you're particularly excited to talk about this last one, and I am too. And so, guys, come back next Monday. Check us out. We've got one last trait that if you're looking for a church, this needs to be present in it. Until then.